Destination Health Radio, brought to you by Millennium Physician Group, your connection to a healthier life. Join us for a healthcare journey as we work together to achieve the best health outcome for you. You can contact us by email at destinationhealth@mpgus.com.
Welcome to Destination Health Radio, brought to you by Millennium Physician Group. I'm Michelle McCormick. Today, our conversation is about mental health. May is observed as Mental Health Month, and in year two of the COVID pandemic, our mental health is more important than ever. We're going to talk with a mental health professional who can help us sort through some of the many layers of mental health and how best to process our own health. We're also going to talk about alternative methods to coping with mental health instead of using medications. But first, Millennium Physician Group is one of the largest physician groups in Florida with over 150 offices in the state. We have over 45 primary care providers right here in Northeast Florida. Millennium has an office for you. Just go to millenniumphysician.com to find a location near you. Millennium also has a brand new walk-in medical center. This office will be open for extended hours during the week and on Saturdays for all of your primary care and sudden health needs. You can visit the location at 13155 Atlantic Boulevard. That's right near Hodges Boulevard, beginning Monday, May 10th. And now, Destination Health Radio, brought to you by Millennium Physician Group. It's your connection to a healthier life. Join us for a healthcare journey as we work together to achieve the best health outcome for you. You can reach out to us by email at destinationhealth@mpgus.com. Well, according to the Mental Health America website, nearly 1 in 5 American adults will have a diagnosable mental health condition in any given year. That's roughly 44 million people, or 18% of U.S. adults. During 2020, when the lockdown first began, the CDC acknowledged that many adults faced challenges that were stressful, overwhelming, lonely, and worrisome. Mental health conditions include depression, anxiety, PTSD, addiction. The list goes on and on. And this can also lead eventually to thoughts of suicide, abuse, divorce, and so much more. Joining me today, my first guest is Paul McCray. He is an experienced mental health counselor who is compassionate about helping his patients access and build upon their strengths so they can live a healthier life. And this is a pretty deep topic. Welcome, Paul, to the show.
Thank you.
And it's really exciting to have you here today. I know you've been a counselor for several many years.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about you.
Okay. I moved to Jacksonville in 2005 to do my master's degree at University of North Florida. Got my master's degree, loved it here in Florida, kind of stuck around. Moved in to a community mental health agency initially, one of the local ones here in town, to get my hours for licensure, and then moved into private practice, which I've been there since 2009.
And where do you work?
Jacksonville Center for Counseling. I'm one of the two owners from Jacksonville that own Jacksonville Center for Counseling. We have about 11 therapists that are licensed that are, you know, open to see anyone and everyone.
That's great. The website was very thorough, and we'll get into that. But Paul, with your background and with your years in practice, how important is it to have an entire month dedicated to mental health?
I mean, it just brings awareness to mental health as a whole, especially in the last couple of years with COVID. Anxiety, depression, as you said in your intro, has just increased so much. So it just allows, you know, the focus to be on mental health for this one and only month, but then hopefully it will continue into the other months as well.
Well, agreed. I think there's way more than just one month that needs to be focused on mental health. Looking at all the different symptoms or causes, is depression like the top one?
Depression and then anxiety, pretty close, pretty equal, actually. With COVID this last year, it's just kind of brought things out. I think a lot of people kind of felt like they were out of control or didn't have control over their own lives, with whether it be staying home with kids, fear of losing their job, not being able to leave the house and have that usual social interaction. Most people who come into my office in these last couple of years have said things like, you know, I used to take my friends for granted. I used to take for granted that I could go into my office, and even though I may not like everyone at my office, that social interaction is huge. So a lot of time, especially in these last 2 years, it's been I'm depressed. You know, I don't know what's going to happen from one day to the next. My kids are driving me crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, that type of thing. So, so it's been pretty important.
Were you able to continue your practice through televisits or
yes.
phone calls?
So we, right away, when this first started happening, the lockdown happened in March, near the end of March, we found an online video platform called doxy.me. And all of our therapists were able to continue seeing their current clients online through video conferencing. And then with insurance kind of adopting that model as well, we didn't you know, people could continue to use their insurance to kind of cover, you know, if not all, some of their co-pays.
Right, yeah, stuff. Which is super helpful. Yeah. Yeah. We are talking with mental health counselor Paul McCray about Mental Health Awareness Month, which is in May, but needs to be way more of just a May topic. So I think we're all under the impression, and we pretty much know that COVID affected mental health. Mm-hmm. What are some of some of the advice you give your patients who may have been really affected?
Yeah, I mean, again, it goes back to their sense of feeling like they have no control over COVID itself. And so what I usually say to people most of the time is, look, you're not going to be able to control COVID or when things open, whether you're going to keep your job or not. So let's focus on some things that you can control. Things like, okay, let's keep to a schedule, whether it be just waking up at the same time every morning, doing a run or some kind of exercises, which is great for mental health, and then keeping to a schedule throughout the day, trying to avoid those things that we can kind of fall back on, like alcohol. Not saying don't drink, but just moderation. You shouldn't be increasing that just to kind of survive and make it through from one day to the next.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, I was furloughed during mm-hmm. this period last year, and I look back on it now as a time of growth, you know,
yes.
And I say that with you know, growth.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was extremely hard, mm-hmm. and there were times I felt like I was like never going to go back to work, or what was next, or where was the next mm-hmm. paycheck coming from? And you can start to see this cycle.
Yeah.
I like the advice of keeping to a normal schedule. So now that we're back to not quite normal,
yeah.
Maybe a new normal.
Yes.
What are you seeing now with some of your patients?
They have definitely some optimistic attitudes. They're definitely a little bit more positive. But again, we still focus. I still try to tell them to focus on those things that they can control. You know, getting up early, exercise, keeping a journal so they can write how they feel on any given day. It doesn't have to be a Dear Diary journal, but something like, today was positive. Here's 5 positive things that I can take from today. Meditation is huge.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that's what I suggest my clients to do. Just little things that kind of promote positivity, because it's very easy for us as humans, and it's easier for us as humans to kind of focus on the negatives.
Yeah.
It just comes a little bit easier.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of forcing your brain to focus on some positive things can be huge and kind of set that day, that week, that month up to be just a whole lot more positive.
We're talking with mental health counselor Paul McCray about Mental Health Awareness Month and how we need to always be thinking about our mental health. What are some signs to look for if a loved one is experiencing some mental health issues?
Yeah, so the main things are things like isolating themselves, which, you know, with a pandemic, it's kind of like hard. But if it's your family member, you know, having trouble getting out of bed, not enjoying those things that they would normally enjoy doing, tearful or sad, maybe a shorter fuse than normal, so they're getting angry or losing their ability to control themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, kind of one of those things. What else? Weight gain, weight loss, and that's excessive. It doesn't mm-hmm. have, I mean, we all fluctuated
right.
over the pandemic. increase in alcohol, I think I haven't said that.
Mm-hmm.
Drugs, if there's drugs, just those things that kind of don't seem normal.
Right.
And if you're in a relationship with someone, whether it be your kids or a spouse, trying to notice whether there's some things in the way they communicate with you has changed,
mm-hmm.
In terms of not communicating at all, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of that. Now, you focus a lot on anxiety
mm-hmm.
also. I think everybody has a little bit of anxiousness.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
there's always that anticipation of something going to happen or anxiousness. And with COVID, you know, there was always the question mark of what's next.
Yes.
How do you settle people's minds when it comes to anxiety?
Well, I say anxiety is actually not always a bad thing, because if we're anxious, it means we're somewhat motivated to get things done. It's when the anxiety takes over and you avoid or stop doing those things that you know you need to do, like get dressed every morning or get up at the same time every morning. So, you know, it goes back to controlling those things that you can, right? And if you feel overwhelmed, like too overwhelmed, where you're just avoiding some of those things, those priorities that you know you've got to get done, it's taking a moment, taking a mental health day. You know, let your boss know you're not going to come in today and take a sick day when you need it. it's like taking care of you. Go see a mental health counselor so that they can, because it's good to have someone other than a spouse mm-hmm. or a loved one to kind of talk to who's going to keep it real. Sometimes it's good to be confronted.
I like the objectivity of mm-hmm. having someone who's not a family member who can see things kind of from the outside of your little bubble. With the pandemic also, Paul, what about just where do you go from here? You know, what's next? Mm-hmm. What, how do you settle kind of into a new normal?
Yeah. Again, I hate to keep going back to this.
No, do.
But it's controlling those things that you can control, right? So keeping that same schedule. You know, if you've got furloughed or you lost a job, try to focus on, you know, setting yourself little goals. Okay, I'm going to apply for 5 jobs this week. I'm going to follow up with 2 that I kind of applied for the week before. It's continuing with your mental health, going to a mental health counselor. It's getting up early or working out early or working out late.
Well, what about those people who are working from home? You know, your office is 2 steps mm-hmm. away rather than a 45-minute drive. How are those mental, you know, I'm just going to work all the time because it's in the next room.
Yeah, again, you got to take time, set a schedule, like between 12 and 12:30, if that's normal, your normal lunch break, go for a walk around the block. My wife is Lydia, works from home now, and she will take conference calls and walk around the block while she's doing them.
Yeah.
If she doesn't have to be at the computer.
Well, Paul is a mental health counselor, and we are talking about mental health awareness, and May is Mental Health Awareness Month. You are a fitness coach as well. Let's go there because I feel that you are probably a therapist while you're coaching a runner or someone who's trying to achieve their fitness goals. How do you move from the office to the road?
Well, I think it's pretty similar because I'm looking for what is that person's strength, whether it be in the mental health arena or the fitness arena, and kind of building on those. Usually I find crosses over in between the two. Quite often people don't realize or don't acknowledge their strengths quite well enough or enough at all. And so it's focusing or giving them, hey, you're really good at this. Let's use that to kind of negate some of the negative things that are going on in your life. So that translates into the running world. I think when I was coaching you, and I'm not sure whether I'm allowed to say
You can. I was going to bring it up.
But I remember, you know, you didn't believe that you could run faster than a 10-minute mile. We worked on that. And then by the time you went out to do the Boulder Boulder, which is at like 6,000 feet mm-hmm. above sea level, you killed this 10-minute. You were below a 10-minute mile.
That is one of my most proudest accomplishments ever. So as a fitness coach, I remember hating you on bridge day, you know, but it paid off when I went to Boulder to do this run and at elevation. And I was like, this is why he had me running those hateful bridges.
Yes.
So as a fitness coach, I think it definitely you allow people to build on their mm-hmm. strengths and then go out and do their best.
Yes. And then it's encouraged them, you know, even today I had a guy that I'm coaching down in Tampa who said, it was so hard. I had the worst run ever. I'm not going to run any races coming up soon. And he had 4x2 mile, but the 3x2 mile were actually faster than I told him to do. And then he couldn't do the last set. So I said, look, you had 3 awesome 2 mile repeats. Let's just focus on that. And let's go on to the next workout.
Yeah, you know? Paul McCray is a mental health counselor and fitness coach. And Paul, where have you seen an increase in the fitness world with COVID, people getting outside?
Yeah, I mean, running is one of those things, or walking is one of those things you don't need a gym to do. So honestly, it's taken off. I mean, you can do that anywhere. It's good to get, if you're working from home, to get out of the house, and you don't need a gym to do it. Mm-hmm. So I encourage people to get in the gym too, but this is one of those things that running or walking that you can do anytime, anywhere.
Yeah. So Paul McCray is a mental health counselor right here in the Jacksonville area. How can listeners get in touch with you, Paul?
They can go to JacksonvilleCenterForCounseling.com, and that's for the mental health thing. And it's the other way is PRSJacks.com, and that's all online. We actually, and I didn't know whether I told you this, but we've just started 2 new running therapy groups that start a week from yesterday. It's for so we kind of talk about anxiety and depression for the first 30 minutes of the hour, kind of give them some tools and some strategies to kind of help with that, and then we walk or run depending on their fitness for the next 30 minutes, because it's one of those package deals where they're doing they're getting the therapeutic side of things, but then they're also getting out there and moving, and it's generating this like camaraderie between people.
Absolutely. That is fantastic. So Jacksonville Center
for Counseling.
For counseling.com and PRSJax.com as well. Well, Paul, thank you so much for joining me today. Coming up next, what if your mental health is suffering due to acute or chronic pain? Natalie Spindle from the Aging and Integrative Pain Assessment and Management Initiative joins us to talk about complementary therapies to help manage your pain. The conversation will continue. Destination Health Radio, brought to you by Millennium Physician Group, will return right after this. Welcome back to Destination Health Radio, brought to you by Millennium Physician Group. I'm Michelle McCormick. Thank you for tuning in today. Joining me now is Natalie Spindle from the Aging and Integrative Pain Assessment and Management Initiative, otherwise known as PAMI. She's joining us to talk about complementary therapies to help manage your pain, which in association could help with your mental health, of course. So welcome back to the show, Natalie. Last time you were here, we talked about in depth about PAMI. Remind us about this very important initiative.
Sure. Thank you so much for having me. So the Aging and Integrative Pain Assessment and Management Initiative is through the University of Florida College of Medicine here in Jacksonville. And so we're a grant-funded program, and specifically this older adult-focused program is meant to deliver educational presentations and resources on pain management options for adults ages 50 and older, as well as their caregivers and their healthcare providers who work with this population. So specifically, we're targeting some different complementary and integrative therapies that can help with pain. So just kind of thinking outside of the box of some of those traditional things that you would get maybe at your doctor, so medications and procedures, moving a little bit beyond that to some self-management techniques as well.
Yeah, our conversation today is about mental health. May is dubbed Mental Health Month. I think mental health is a topic that we need to be talking about more than just in the month of May. People in either acute or chronic pain can suffer from mental health challenges as well. What are some of the alternative therapies to medication a patient can do to help relieve the pain and keep their mental health in check?
Sure. Yeah. So I think it's so important, and mental health is very much related to pain and every other one of the sensations that we experience in the body. So we look at the complete cycle of pain and well-being. So the biopsychosocial aspects of managing your pain are very important, and they can in turn help with your mental health. And if your mental health is better, you're able to manage your pain better. So some of those options include things you might already have in your home. So hot and cold therapy, so use of ice packs or maybe a heating pad, things like that. Looking into massage therapy, so whether it's something that you can perform on yourself or it's something where you have to go out and seek a provider, that's very important. We look at physical therapy, so whether it's traditional physical therapy, again, where you go and you find a provider, or it's just a few daily exercises that you work into your routine to help you with stretching, maybe if you have lower back pain, something a little bit more localized. We also look at things a little bit more outside of the box, so guided imagery, so thinking of a place so that you can transport yourself into a little bit more of a calming and soothing environment. And that's something that you can imagine in your mind. There are wonderful videos on YouTube if you're not kind of good with those imaginative types of scenery. And they can walk you through being in a forest, being at the beach, just thinking about something that makes you happy and feel at ease. Things like music therapy. So in the traditional sense, either finding someone who's well-versed in that type of therapy, or just simply turning on a few different songs that make you feel good, put you into a good mood, make you dance, you know, working on your interpretive movement skills. You don't have to be a great dancer. If you can get your body active just by moving around, you're going to make yourself relax and feel a little bit more comfortable. And then we also look at things like relaxation techniques. So this can be progressive muscle relaxation, meditation, mindfulness, just simply taking a few minutes to sit and breathe. Those breathing techniques, of course, are always free. Mindfulness you can do completely on your own. So we try to educate people about all of those different types of aspects that help to distract the mind, distract the body, kind of take you into a little bit more of a calmer place so that you can address your pain and your mental well-being a little bit better.
Natalie Spindle is from the Aging and Integrative Pain Assessment and Management Initiative. Great advice. I think everybody really needs to incorporate all of those therapies into their life. How can we find out more information? Direct us to where we can find more information about PAMI.
Of course. So our shortened URL is the easiest to access. So that's www.tinyurl.com aging with pain. And that's going to take you to all of our resources and our presentations, all completely free again to access. And then all of our contact information for PAMI is on there as well, if you feel like you want to reach out or you just have questions that you want to run by us.
Well, Natalie, thank you very much. Coming up, Dr. Brooke Stewart joins us to talk about taking a holistic approach to mental health through a combination of holistic counseling and functional medicine, as well as we're going to learn something about acupuncture. The conversation will continue. Destination Health Radio, brought to you by Millennium Physician Group, will return right after this. Welcome back to Destination Health Radio, brought to you by Millennium Physician Group. I'm Michelle McCormick. Today, our conversation is about mental health. May is observed as Mental Health Month, and in a year, especially year two of the COVID-19 pandemic, our mental health is more important than ever. Joining me now is Dr. Brooke Stewart. Dr. Stewart is an Orlando-based holistic doctor whose primary objective is to bring her patients into balance by helping them let go of, learn from, and transform the challenges in their life so that they can live life to the full and experience their full potential. Love all of those words put together. Welcome to the show, Dr. Stewart. Tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on, Michelle. I'm so excited to be here. And mental health after this year is obviously a top priority. And, you know, as Natalie mentioned in the segment prior, you know, working with the mind and body, if we can begin to use these simple tools to shift mindset, diet, and lifestyle, we can definitely, you know, help to optimize health. Because as we know, the mind and body are one. And we are seeing that now more than ever before after this past year.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you 100%. I fully believe in this type of body filling up your soul, finding your strengths. Tell us what you do and what your successes are.
Absolutely. So I work with patients and we really focus on a holistic perspective. So we work on mind and body through simple intervention, mindset, diet, and lifestyle. And basically my practice, I work to create a personalized treatment plan. And then I partner with my patients in engaging the change. Everything from mindfulness practice so that they can take a breath, reflect, review their experiences to learn from them, to the simple fundamentals and basics, like getting them on an anti-inflammatory whole foods diet to support those pillars, making sure they're sleeping really well, movement, play, sleep, relaxation, all of these play huge parts in building that foundation to get them walking on solid ground. So often I find that one of the biggest fears that patients encounter is that fallback point. So maybe they're used to going one step forward, two steps back, getting caught in that recirculated cycle, but the drop is always scary. So if you can begin to connect to yourself and understand your mind, your body, your heart, your life from a different perspective in a way that you have empowered ways to go about treating them, well, that fear begins to shift and everything can shift into a healing mode once you feel more calm and connected and in tune with kind of what's going on with you. It's not as scary when there's less unknown there. So I feel like a lot of my job is assisting my patients in learning the language of their systems as a whole, whether that's mindset or body, you know, really understanding what's coming up, what's working, what doesn't, and why is a huge piece in moving forward in that way.
Dr. Brooke Stewart is a holistic-based Orlando doctor who primary objective is that balance, that mind-body balance. Yeah. Dr. Stewart, what did you see during COVID, during lockdown, this time last year? How were you helping your patients?
So much can come up. Obviously, the health fears as well, right? Keeping your immune system very strong, staying in tune in that way. But then aside from that, once those boxes are checked, obviously, we're working with a lot of emotion, right? We see isolation. We see so much fear and even, you know, connecting with and being in physical form with loved ones. Obviously, anxiety is through the roof when there's something very unknown. And then the whole world has shifted in the blink of an eye. So all of that change can bring up so much. And depending on people's vulnerabilities, where their gaps lie, that's typically what will be expressed most. So if some people struggle with severe, you know, depression or severe anxiety, right, that's most likely going to come up. And a lot of people flip-flop between the two. We all experience everything. We're human. And so in terms of COVID, that change can be so abrupt, right? We saw things with loss of job. We saw things with loss of loved ones. We saw the whole world change before our eyes, even just socially. As we walk out, we can't be near each other. We have to wear masks everywhere. So there's so much that can come up visually, but also internally for each individual.
And what was your approach to, you know, helping these people that maybe you weren't seeing one-on-one? Were you able to do phone visits, telehealth?
Absolutely. So my practice changed in the blink of an eye. I actually switched to a completely virtual model. Before COVID, I was working with patients in person using acupuncture as a part of treatment, but everything kind of shifted to virtual telemedicine, really focusing on creating those personalized treatment plans and working with the counseling aspect, more health education, more what people can do on their own more, but then also, you know, making sure that nutrient deficiencies are filled. In my practice, I look at stress, and I think stress is a good way. It's a good big word to kind of embody anxiety, depression, and obviously they're very, very different, but stress is a part of all of this. And so when we're looking at stress, we can see stress come about through a mismatch in diet, a mismatch in lifestyle, a mismatch in mindset. So if we can address the tensions and what's kind of creating, you know, that inflammation in the system, then we can have a lot more capacity and resourcefulness to kind of move forward. So in my practice, we were working a lot with that meditation, mindfulness. I teach this practice actually that I worked with Natalie on. It's called the heart-based practice. It basically gets your system into a state of coherence. And so it's so simple. It's literally placing your hands over your heart, feeling your heartbeat. And I find that just taking 3 minutes can help to shift the system from that sympathetic state to a parasympathetic one, where we can connect to the healing process that much more. But also just basic things for people, like getting outside, moving, you know, getting those 10,000 steps in, making sure your sleep environment is conducive to that regeneration, making sure your diet is fit for you. All of these things mattered, and it was very empowering for people to have something that they could focus on actually doing, you know.
I agree with you. Dr. Brooke Stewart, we're talking about holistic approaches to mental health. Dr. Stewart, what is functional medicine?
Absolutely. So functional medicine is basically root cause orientation. So for example, if you have a B12 deficiency, right, it could show up as schizophrenia. It could show up as severe anxiety. It could show up in all kinds of ways. It could show up in chronic fatigue, weakness in the musculoskeletal system. But if we're chasing those symptoms versus looking and kind of doing a deep dive in terms of lab work or seeing what's going on with the mismatch of inputs. So for example, we want the body to have a signal of safety, to feel safe so that it can begin to heal. So if there's a nutrient deficiency or something going on autoimmune wise, we want to be able to identify that so that we can apply treatment accordingly to get the system shifted. So for example, a B12 deficiency can express as all sorts of patterns that people can go chasing after. But if it's just a B12 deficiency, well, we can do something about that, obviously through diet and through supplementation. So that would be an example of how functional medicine can be helpful. But in kind of a context, it's more holistic. It's more root cause oriented. If you are not sleeping, coffee's not going to be able to cover that up, right? There's always going to be a depletion and a lack of energy until we resolve sleep. And that could obviously be due to lifestyle. Maybe you have young children or that are keeping you up at night, or maybe it has to do with the magnesium deficiency. And that's what my job is, to really explore that and apply it in the context of reality, though, because obviously we're all human.
Right. So Dr. Stewart, does functional medicine replace prescription medicine?
So I wouldn't say that it replaces it. I find that my patients typically create they have more of a resilient system. I kind of see medicine as medicine. So we want to pick and choose and personalize for each patient individually. So for example, you could totally use acupuncture alongside pain medication as, you know, and kind of unhook the need and make pain medication a bit more optional depending on that patient and their natural imbalances. So everybody's a bit different. Clearly we want to, you know, shift each person into that healing mode, but I think it can work alongside. I think in some cases it can create that replacement, but it's really different for each individual. And I kind of just see it as medicine is medicine. And how can we kind of integrate it and work together to give the patient the best experience possible with their, you know, so that they can live in the context of their life in the way and with the quality that they want to.
We are talking with Dr. Brooke Stewart about holistic approaches to mental health. And how is it valuable, the functional medicine part, especially the B12 you were just talking about, how is that important and valuable for patients seeking help for mental health?
So I think just noting that it's more than just the mind, right? It's not like you are broken, right? There's so many aspects to look at, and you are what's behind your mind and body. So if you can begin to kind of bring in an empowering perspective on that and have things that you can do as you're acknowledging all that you are, all that you have, it begins to make a bit more sense. And so I think that that's the key when how functional medicine can really help with mental health is that it creates a mobilization and an expansion and a way to actually begin to address these issues without thinking I'm broken, something's wrong with me. I find with mental health, there can be so much shame until we begin to kind of redefine who you are, right? In terms of shifting into a healing mode. So for example, you are not your thoughts, you are not your feelings, you are not your body, you are not your life experiences, you're not your academic achievements, appearance, etc. So if we're able to recognize that you're the power behind all of that, now we have a bit more space to re-enter into these parts of that define, you know, your experience. And in that, there's a lot that can heal. There's a lot of research that goes to show that if we begin to see the world as for us versus continuously happening to us with that division, just connecting to a potential meaning, that is 24/7 medicine. Your perspective can be 24/7 medicine. And so if your perspective is opening up and you're able to now mobilize and expand and focus on all that you can do, all that you are, you're coming to health in such a more fulfilled way where you can think clearer and kind of proceed with what could work for you in a way.
I think that's extremely valuable information. Dr. Brooke Stewart, talking about holistic approaches to mental health. And all right, let's talk about acupuncture. Yeah, people absolutely just think it's about needles in your body. We know it goes way deeper than that. Give us a brief explanation about how acupuncture works.
Absolutely. So acupuncture is an incredible medicine. It's actually documented. There's documentation of it over 8,000 years ago. And just to give you a contrast, conventional medicine itself, it was built about 700 years ago. And obviously there's advancements in technology. It's not a competition. They're both wonderful. But it, just to give you an idea, I mean, 8,000 years ago, and then it truly came into play about 2,500 years ago. And so acupuncture, I find for my patients, can be a way to say, hey, this time is for me. I'm going to put myself first. I'm going to work on my health. And how it basically works is through three primary effects. So it's built to get the body into balance, into a homeostasis. And so when the body begins to understand that it can be in a non-pain state, it begins to acclimate towards that and work towards it, because it's almost like, oh, I feel a possibility. I see how coherence can work. Let me gravitate towards that. So it can often be like jump starting a car at first, you know, especially when we're talking about pain, there may be bits like 2 days of feeling out of pain, two days. And then all of a sudden the body begins to stick. But how it works is basically through the blood flow. So anytime you create a trauma in the body, right, a puncture, an acupuncture, so sticking a needle into a body, there's specific points. So there's a local effect, a systemic effect, and something called the somatovisceral effect with acupuncture. So basically what that means is local, it's like, okay, we, you know, place a point in between our pointer finger and our thumb. Now the blood flow is going to that area and maybe our, you know, fingers feel better and circulation has increased. Now, funny enough about that point in particular, it can also work on things like headaches and pain. And so anytime you put a needle into the body at all, you're getting that systemic effect where we're working on it with the endogenous opioid system. So basically bringing all of these neurochemicals and these natural endorphins and natural anti-inflammatories and pain relievers to the whole body, because the whole body is flooding through working with the bloodstream in that sort of way. So that's where it has that systemic effect where you can put a needle anywhere and it begins to shift the body out of pain. But the most interesting effect to me as a practitioner is something called the somatovisceral effect, which is body to organ system. So that same point, and there's actually, we're actually giving it away in our PAMI presentation, there's something called an AccuLeaf that actually is placed in between that point. It's called LI4 in acupuncture, and it works on headaches and migraines. And so with that point in particular, it has this somatovisceral effect, which means by way of the nervous system, a point on your, you know, on your hand can work with the head and the neck and relieve actual migraines. And so it's incredible. It's incredibly intelligent medicine. And they discovered it through observation, palpation, you know, looking for signs of inflammation, and then seeing, you know, if you put pressure and certain depths of pressure on certain points, you know, what are the effects? So it's been explored for obviously thousands of years. And so it can work really on anything from mental health to pain. And the World Health Organization actually titled a review. It was called Acupuncture Review and Analysis. It's basically a whole review of clinical trials detailing at least over 40 conditions that acupuncture is effective on. So it's incredible medicine, and it's definitely worth looking into if you're drawn to it, and especially if you're having issues with mental health, looking for a way to address it very directly and actively, and also for pain, for certainly.
I find acupuncture fascinating. I've done it before. You're right. It takes you into a place where you can just relax and be you, and then have benefits from it. You touched briefly, Dr. Stewart, about an event that you and Natalie are doing together. Yeah. Natalie, you want to come back into the conversation and tell us about that real quick?
Yes, yeah, sure. So Dr. Stewart and another acupuncturist who works here with us, his name is Doug Suffield. They will be presenting as a panel on acupuncture and acupressure. So that's coming up next week. So that'll be May 13th, and that's from noon to one. So it's a live webinar. And the benefit, of course, of attending it live is that you can hear the information, and then you also have a chance to participate in discussion, ask questions of our presenters. So that's really important. So if you have a couple of those questions, things that you want to ask about, you'll be able to do so. But you can register, again, just through going to the PAMI website, and you'll find all of that information in order to sign up completely free for that Zoom event. And that website, again, is just www.tinyurl.com/agingwithpain. And you'll be able to get that link and just register. It's very easy and very quick and free.
Awesome. Well, coming up next, we're going to wrap up with Dr. Brooke Stewart, and we're going to wrap up with Natalie as well, and we'll hear their top three takeaways that you're going to want to leave with today regarding our conversation about mental health. The conversation will continue. Destination Health Radio, brought to you by Millennium Physician Group, will return right after this. Welcome back to Destination Health Radio, brought to you by Millennium Physician Group. I'm Michelle McCormick. Our conversation today has been quite interesting about mental health awareness, and how it needs to be more than just the month of May. It's something that's really a part of our lives right now, especially during the COVID pandemic. First, we heard from Paul McCray in the first section as a licensed mental health counselor, and how important it is to talk with someone who might not be your spouse or your mom, might be someone objective, and that was extremely valuable information. Next, we heard from Natalie Spindle from PAMI, and she's going to give us more information about a really important event coming up. But Dr. Brooke Stewart is an Orlando-based holistic doctor who just gave us some amazing advice about mental health and how we're just not broken, are we, Dr. Stewart?
Absolutely not. And, you know, I'm so excited to be able to talk about just like kind of like recap some things that people can do, because that is literally the first thing I say to each and every one of my patients when they walk in the door is there's nothing wrong with you. You are not broken. They're just patterns that are dysfunctional, right? And we want to begin to look at them so we can learn from them, review them so that we can begin to receive from them versus reliving them or having to re-experience that initial trauma, whatever it may be. It could have been low grade. It could have been high intensity. But I think that plugging into ourselves and connection, when we really look at mental health, it's like, how can we begin to repair that divide, right? To actually connect, to get into that state of coherence. And so there's so much that people can do on their own. And I find that that heart-based practice we mentioned, and I'll definitely share a link if you'd like it to share it with your audience. We have obviously the PAMI presentation has it detailed. So that's a great resource as well. But just even if you visualize yourself and actually place your hands over your heart, feel your heart beat, it's a way of plugging in and connecting, which brings about that bridge to the other side, which is always there for you if you choose it. And also remembering that who you truly are, that you have the power to create, even if it's just through your perspective, shifting how you show up in the world in a way, how you interact with different experiences and interpret them, but also those practical choices that you can make. For example, the to you versus for you, seeing life as potentially happening very much for you doesn't mean the pain of the to you is not there. However, if we want to heal, being open to that makes it a lot easier to plug in and to connect. to create that mobilization. And in terms of those practical choices that we can make, maybe you just choose one, because one will lead to more. It will lead to a natural momentum and a buildup of energy where we can shift the system into a healing mode where we're just moving forward. So that's the difference between reverse and forward. If we're only healing at 48 capacity, well, that looks like reverse, right? That's like very, very, can be very dark for people. So shifting into 51%, well, now we're still moving forward. Now the light is of day has really come about. And you can do that through working on your sleep, through changing up your diet, through maybe taking a certain supplement you're drawn to, through going to see an acupuncture physician, whatever feels right to you. But if you just begin and plug into that new conversation and connect, the other side is right there. And so knowing that you can do that at any moment in time, you can interrupt autopilot, a default mode, and shift into an experience based on growth and expansion by way of your power to choose. So I find that all of this can be extraordinarily mobilizing, given someone who has that desire to shift their state, which I think we really all do probably inside, but maybe not all of us know that that it's possible. And so just framing it in a certain way and kind of clearing up the clutter that gets in between us and our power to choose, us and taking command over our choice, can make it that much easier to see that shift in action, even by way of the present moment experience. And that's why I love that heart-based practice, because it can shift an experience in literally the blink of an eye, any where that you are.
I love that. It's something you can do at a stoplight when you're having a bad day on the road. Dr. Brooke Stewart, how can listeners get in touch with you?
Absolutely. So I have a website. It's drbrookestewart.com. It's just drbrookestewart.com. And all of the information is there. We also have a ton of free information on our website. We try to do as much as possible in terms of giving empowering information. We have weekly videos that come out every Sunday and a lot of things going on there. So yeah, it's all on the website.
Very thorough. So thank you for joining us. Natalie, talk about the event coming up that you have with Dr. Stewart one more time.
Of course, yes. So you can join Dr. Brooke Stewart as well as Doug Suffield. They're both licensed acupuncturists, and the event will be on acupuncture and acupressure to treat pain. So this is a webinar completely through Zoom and completely free, and it'll be on May 13th from noon to 1. So you can register online on the PAMI website, and it's just www.tinyurl.com/agingwithpain. And if you need to reach out to our organization, again, all of the PAMI information is on that site. We are through the University of Florida College of Medicine, Jacksonville. So it's just free education so that people can learn a little bit more about acupuncture and how it might play a role in their own life.
Well, it sounds amazing. Thank you, ladies, very much for joining me today about our very important conversation on mental health. The conversation will continue next time on Destination Health Radio. Your healthcare journey is important to us, and our goal at Millennium Physician Group is to work together to achieve the best health outcome for you, and that always starts with seeing your primary care provider. See our website for a full list of offices and providers at millenniumphysician.com. You can also send us an email with your questions, comments, any topic ideas, and if you need to get in touch with these ladies, just send an email to destinationhealth@mpgus.com, and we'll get back to you. In good health, I'm Michelle McCormick. So long for now.